Welcome to Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass, a weekly conversation about business, careers, and personal development designed to inspire, educate, and motivate you.
And sometimes ourselves.
To show up powerfully, live fearlessly, and to find and unleash your inner badass. I'm Lisa Lindsay.
I'm Liz Green.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass. I'm Lisa Lindsay, here with my unassuming co-host, Liz Green. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I got some things in the works that I'm excited about.
I know you got some things. You're going down south in, what, a week?
Yeah, let's not talk about it. Shh, shh, shh. I don't want people to know where I am.
Okay.
But yes, I do plan to go somewhere where there is a beach and some sun. So I am very, very, very much looking forward to that. Very excited about it.
So jealous. I can hardly wait until I can do something like that. I'll have to live vicariously through you.
Your
background will change too, right?
My background will change. I don't know how much. We'll see. But yeah,
maybe you can take us all out to the beach and have that as your backdrop.
Right. The waves in the background will be good for the audio. It'd be perfect.
What do you think about marketing? What comes to mind when you think about marketing?
You know, it's just the thing that we keep doing, keep having to do, right? And it's so interesting because one of the things that I've found with us doing the podcast is that we end up talking to a lot of people about marketing. And it's really kind of interesting to me because I keep thinking, well, why do we have so many marketing people? But I realize it's because it's such a big problem.
And we have to do it. And, you know, how are we going to be known, our businesses, how are we going to get known if we don't market?
I know. So it's a slog. I find it rather annoying sometimes. It's a thing we have to do. I've shifted my mindset about it because there's parts of it that's fun. I like the creative part of it, of course, but you know, we do
it. What about getting yourself out there in the marketplace? Like just kind of putting yourself out there over and over again. How do you feel about that? Because I know I have, sometimes I feel a little bit like, I have to ask for this and I have to, you know, jump on board for that and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the list goes on and on. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's very, very interesting. I think that that's the hardest thing. And I'll tell you a quick story. When we finished up our coaching classes, I took another one that you didn't take in the fall. And our instructor, the one we don't name, she and I were having a conversation. And I remember her saying to me several times on many occasions, it's okay to call yourself a coach. And she never gave me any sort of assignment or anything like that. But I decided that one of the things that I was going to do is call myself a coach, name myself as a coach, and put that out on LinkedIn. Right.
Wow, that's bold.
Right. To like it was a big deal. And it was really hard to do because I sat on it. I mean, I wrote the thing out and I sent it to people who I'd already talked to as like a little bit of a warm up. So people who already knew I was a coach and say, hey, here's this letter. And then to like put it out on LinkedIn, that was really hard. And I remember having to do it on a day, like I pushed it out on LinkedIn and I immediately left and went to go do something else, right? So that I wasn't sitting here obsessing about people who saw it and what they were going to think and what comments they were going to make and things like that, because that was the hard part. That was the thing that was worrying me. So I don't think that that's uncommon at all, feeling kind of reluctant to put ourselves out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, but it's absolutely necessary in marketing for sure.
You have to. And you have to just kind of pull out that part of you that is bold.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we all have it. And today I'm so excited about our guest because this is what she talks about. She's a business and marketing strategy coach. Mm-hmm. Her name is Katrina Orenson. And she also is the host of a podcast called Through the Marketing Lens. And I know in our pre-chat, she said, oh, I could talk about marketing for 100 days straight. And I thought, wow, there's so much to learn from this woman.
Yeah.
So let's bring her on. Welcome, Katrina. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, welcome. We love it.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we were just talking earlier about how excited we were to have you on our, in our kind of pre-chat. Both of us laughed like, oh, she's so wonderful and she's so personable and easy to talk to. So we're really looking forward to this.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I feel the same way.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, we're talking today a bit about marketing and some coaching. And you coach female entrepreneurs mostly. And what would you say is the number one thing that female entrepreneurs think of when they hear the word marketing?
I think it means a lot of things. What comes up a lot right now is social media. Social media is the number one topic that I get questions about. And it seems to be the exclusive way that people are choosing to market their business, which can be a little bit tricky, but that seems to be what comes up a lot.
Interesting. Yeah. Why is it that you believe that people are taking that route versus other routes?
I think it's what we see in our everyday, right? We spend so much time on social media that we begin to believe, oh, this is what everyone's doing and it's what they're doing exclusively. Where there's so many other things that are behind the scenes that people don't necessarily see, or we don't deem as super important. Maybe you're not opening your email marketing as much. What we say, we open about 20% of our emails, but it could be, and in fact, with my business, it's a really big source of how I actually keep and get my clients. So maybe you're not realizing that that's so incredibly important and all that other back end stuff, right? So I define marketing as every single touch point that you have with a consumer. So that's a lot of stuff, right? That that's a very, very broad definition. And it marries with your branding and all these other things. So if you just think as of marketing as this one silo of social media, it becomes really dangerous because then you're just relying on this thing that's not even yours, right? You don't own social media. You have, when Instagram changes everything and then people go bananas because they don't know what's happening with the algorithms or there's all of a sudden reels and you got to do this. It just becomes extremely overwhelming when you're reliant on one thing as opposed to what you should be doing, which is really diversifying, which sounds scary, but it's way less scary if you understand more.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what are the things that people are in fact leaving at the wayside? Like, what are they not considering when they are focused so much on social media? I know you mentioned email marketing, and we actually just finished an episode about email marketing. But what are some of the other things that we could and should be doing besides just focusing so intently on social media?
Yeah. So first of all, it starts with your branding. So although marketing and branding are two separate things, you have to really know what your color palette is and what you stand for, right? Color palette is what we see visually, but what do you believe in? What are your values? And that's going to allow you to have a voice in your marketing. So that's kind of where marketing takes over. And this is where we're talking about, how do you actually write your emails? What do they look like? Do you have branding within your emails? Something as simple as that, where people see it and they can identify this one picture or logo that triggers them. We see it with big companies like Nike, right? They've paid billions and billions of dollars to be recognizable. But that's what you want to do on a really small scale. So then when you translate that over into social media, are you thinking about the words that you're using in your social media? Are you clear when you're using certain words across all of your channels? So it's not just your social media, it's playing with the actual verbiage in your social media and then going into your email marketing and spending time there. And when you are creating your email marketing, are you creating email sequences, for example? So you're making sure that they're feeling nurtured throughout the entire process. It's not just about selling, it's about actually telling your story and connecting with them. So I think where people get lost is, oh, I'm supposed to just do these things and make a sale. That is not what marketing is. Marketing is about connecting. It's about touch points, right? How can we help them? So podcasting, doing what we're doing right now, that is a huge way to add value. And you're also marketing at the same time. So these are your moments to really diversify. And then when the sale is over, your marketing's not done, right? So that's where you can kind of nurture them while you're not actually selling to them. And what does that process feel like? The offboarding, as we call it. So after you finish that sale, are you saying thank you? Are you sending them to a nice landing page and then sending them maybe a downloadable freebie that you say, thank you so much for this experience and for allowing me to do this with you. Here's a little gift for you. So now you've just given them so much more, and that's what marketing's about. So all of that to say, how does it feel different to have that whole process with someone where they gave you so much more than you paid for through the value and your podcast and all those touch points, rather than just getting these social media spurts where you're expecting someone to stop and actually read what you're doing when there's so many other things that are distracting them?
Right, right. Exactly. Telling a story, making it personal. I know that when I first started out in business, when I thought of the word marketing, I was kind of nervous about it. I didn't know really what it was. I was kind of afraid really of putting myself out there. I was nervous a bit about, some rejection. Do you find that very often when you're coaching female entrepreneurs that are just starting out?
Absolutely. I love that you said that, because I think we all feel that, right? You just said that when you first started, you weren't sure what to define it as. So can I ask you, what did you define it as? Did you even know what it was, marketing?
I sort of knew, but I felt that it was, put an ad in a magazine, in a trade magazine, or learn more about social media and what I'm supposed to do there and how do I get more followers. And I think the basics, and I didn't really know that I really didn't define it like a story and making it personal and really connecting with people. I didn't understand that concept at that point.
Sure. So I think the reason marketing, we all feel like it's this super scary thing, is because we do have to keep putting ourselves out there. And as human beings, we don't want to be rejected. So it really is, if we kind of take it as a place where you can actually analyze your business and take the emotion out of it. So it's really not about you, right? So why is this falling flat? Not what am I doing wrong, but how can I better serve, right? How can I reach them better? And that's really the question. So it becomes so rejection focused when we allow like our egos to get in the way. Mm-hmm. And it happens every single person, right? With every single thing that we do. But I think with business, you can really see it when people say, I can't do this because I don't understand this. And I'm scared about putting myself into these Facebook groups and posting about it. Because what if no one responds? Well, if you're doing something that people want, they will respond, right? So just keep trying until you're getting responses. So I think that, Liz, what you said is so real. The fear of you being, or the fear of you feeling stupid or feeling rejected or all of those things, they're just feelings. So when you can really put yourself out there, that's the place where you actually see major traction, when you're just able to analyze rather than letting your ego kind of get in the way of everything.
We've been talking a little bit about that and how the focus on self tends to be the thing that causes us to not really do the thing that we're supposed to do. I know we had a guest on recently who said something very similar to what you just said, which is focusing on your client, right? Mm-hmm. And focusing on them and really letting them, the client, whoever that might be, guide you out of sort of your fear of whatever it is that it is that you're doing. I mean, I know, having worked for really large law firms and other large organizations. For me, marketing was just very annoying because it was just a thing that I had to do. And there was the parts of it that's fun. But like Liz was saying, you know, there was the flip side of it, which was like, okay, I got to do an ad or something like that, or I have to do social media, all of which really just exhausts me still to this day, sort of just thinking about it and thinking about how much actually has to be done. And especially these days when everybody is online and everybody is like hyper online. So trying to figure out how to like move back out and really stand out is really critical. So I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts about how entrepreneurs, women especially, besides sort of putting themselves out there over and over again, how can we move out and stand out, especially with the glut of everything that's online these days?
Oh my gosh. First of all, I feel everything that you're saying. I think it's so incredibly overwhelming. And it's like you're on this treadmill, right? You're like, there's no end to this. It's just going to keep on going forever and over. Truthfully, it's, I think, depending on what your life looks like, and there's a couple ways to go. One, it is picking one platform. You do not need to be on 100 different platforms. And for the love of God, it's impossible for you to do all the things without completely burning out. So accepting that and then picking the platform where your clients live, where your dream clients live. For me, that's Instagram, which it's a whole world in itself in Instagram. It's like 10 platforms on one. Some people that's LinkedIn, but getting really, really savvy at that one platform and just killing it. That's where you stand out. Because when you try to just pull yourself into 20 different directions, you're never going to do a good job. And in terms of social media, it's social media, right? We're supposed to be social. So it's not just about you putting content out there. It's about you spending the time to actually invest in people. And it sounds like baloney, but I'm telling you, when I spend half an hour of this is the time where I'm going to sit there and actually respond to DMs, which I spend a lot of time answering questions in DMs, making people feel like they're heard and listened to, that's where I actually convert people. So while they might be on my email list, then they'll actually talk to me on Instagram. So, you know, just thinking about that rather than if I was trying to be on LinkedIn and Facebook and have a presence on Instagram, it would be impossible. I would need three of me. So my other thought was really depends again on your life and your budget, but you can also outsource. And it's not that crazy to spend a few hundred dollars a month for a virtual assistant, for example, or an online business manager, which is this whole online world where people help you with your whatever that is, the things that you don't have time to do. Mm-hmm. So finding someone that you don't have to be, you know, they're a contractor, so it's not this huge expensive thing to take on. And that's really investing in your client, right? So if you want them to feel connected and heard, then you say, okay, your job is to really show up for me on Facebook and answer all the questions that people need answers to. And that's really what makes people feel like, okay, I feel good about this decision, rather than getting stuck in that process of, should I work with them? Should I not work with them? And that's just where they'll live forever until they feel connected to you. So how do you do that? Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's the number one thing people are after, actually, is to be listened to and heard. Right? Okay. And if you can take a few moments to do that, like you say, connect with your clients in that way, then, I mean, you're mostly there, right?
As humans, that's all we want. That's like the reason that we are here. We are here to connect. We are social beings. We need to feel something. So the reason that your ego is getting in the way is because your ego is here to protect you from getting hurt. And so you disconnect. So how do you make that ego feel actually nurtured and loved? And getting to the root of like all the things humans need is just show up, do it the best way that you can. And that's for me, it's putting out a ton of free content and answering free questions and letting people know that I'm a person, you know, and And of course, I'm here to help you. No, I'm not going to sit on a 45-minute call and give you all the free advice ever, but I'm here and this is what I'm like. I'm safe. And as some people do not like it, I don't like her, whatever the reason is, fine. I'm not for everybody, but I'm surely for somebody, right? So,
right.
Absolutely.
That's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Katrina, you make it sound so simple. So why does it feel so hard?
Yeah. Oh God. Is that a real question? Cause I could go on for days about that.
It kind of is. It kind of isn't. I don't know.
Well, how did you start? How did you come to, you know, where you are today, having a successful coaching company and a podcast and whatnot?
So I started small, just like everybody. And it was, I worked in finance for a few years in New York, and I knew from the age of 12 that I was always going to be an entrepreneur. So it was just a matter of when and what that looked like. And when I left finance, I knew I was going to open a boutique. I knew I was going to be in fashion in some capacity. So I left, I started taking classes at FIT. I started working at a small boutique to everyone's dismay. How could you leave finance and go work at a small boutique? And I learned everything I could over the course of 2 years. And then I left, I became a mom. We moved to Florida and I opened my boutique and I opened a jewelry line at the same time. We were selling wholesale. I kind of knew what I was doing, but ultimately was just making very expensive mistakes. And it taught me so much so quickly because it was my money at risk, right? So you learn pretty quickly when it's your reputation and your money and all those things. And I got really savvy really quickly. I partnered with some really incredible women who were doing really cool things. And as much as I want to chalk that up to luck, I think it had a lot to do with what I had been kind of figuring out along the way, right? So when I was in FIT, I was meeting people. And when I was working in New York in the boutique world, I was very open about the fact that I wanted to start a jewelry line. So as soon as you start kind of putting it out there, mm-hmm. people start receiving it, right? So I stayed in contact with those people. I had an incredible person who was helping me with the jewelry and things just started rolling. And soon after I had the boutique, it was, hey, will you help me start my business? Hey, would you mind if we sat and got a cup of coffee? There was nothing fancy about what I was doing. And I was not calling it coaching by any means. I was calling it a favor. And I honestly didn't even know that there was a such job. So it really happened completely organically. And I went from, I want to have this brick and mortar, and ultimately, oh my God, there's this space that I can work online and connect with people in that way. Well, I want to do that. That seems way more manageable, by the way, for every mom, because owning a brick and mortar is like bananas. But I really fell in love with connecting with women, especially who were starting something, because I could feel all the things that they were feeling. It was scary. Like you said before, you're putting yourself out there constantly, which I mean, it's hard. And if you have no idea with what you're doing, which I didn't, you know, mm-hmm. I just wish over and over that I had someone who knew a little bit more than me that I could ask for help, that could, which I always say, like, I will pull you up. I wanted someone to pull me up. So I became that person. And I never really looked back. We closed the boutique. We sold everything. We sold the jewelry line. And about 6 months from that point, I was ready to start charging people. So that's when I really launched the business. And here I am. And it was, you know, when I told my husband, okay, this is the route that I want to go, he was like, oh my gosh, slow down. Like you're, but I, you just know when you know. So yeah. So this is where I am today. And the podcast happened honestly, because I hate blogging.
Yep.
I just don't like it, but I love connecting with people. So this was like a perfect way for me to be able to do what you guys are doing, which I absolutely love.
Thank you. So when we were talking in our pre-chat, one of the things you mentioned is how you use local marketing to really market national audiences. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. So what do you mean when you say local marketing?
So I consider local marketing to be anything really in your local area. So it's mm-hmm. something that's just a little bit more manageable. I think when people think of marketing, it can be this like big, huge word, but local marketing feels smaller. Maybe it's another business owner that you know, or, you know, a coffee shop down the street. It just feels much more palatable for our brains, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So basically kind of staying within your community and looking to partner. Are we looking to partner? What are we looking to do when we're doing that?
Yeah. So it can be anything, to be honest, but I can give you an example. Want to go the example route? Okay.
Sure.
So I am a friend of local marketing because I, like I said before, I had a brick and mortar. And when I worked at the boutique up in Manhattan, It was a chain of boutiques. So they had a couple in the Hamptons. So it was way before there was Instagram. So we didn't have anything other than what we knew right in front of us. So let's partner with the restaurant next to us, or, you know, so it was something that just was really kind of simple for me. So one thing that we loved to do was events. And this is a really impactful thing. And it's not just for local. And I'll explain what I mean. So I think of like every output that you're putting out there to the consumers, you can put them in a really big scale. So if you're launching an event, let's say it's for local entrepreneurs, and you decide to partner with a couple of local people that you know, I'm not going to even put labels on who they are. Now you can post about the event in your papers, because most newspapers, magazines have a free space that you can post about an event online. And when you do that, yes, it's about the local, but it's also about your SEO. So now mm-hmm. you're on all these other websites, and that's going to boost your website SEO, which is a national thing, right? So before you actually have the event, you can have a photo shoot, and you're going to use all that behind the scenes footage on your social media platforms. Now you have a reason to show up in your feeds in a totally different way. And people are curious, and that's what we need. Curiosity is like the best thing. You're going to drive FOMO. You're going to drive, okay, what's going on with this person? And now when someone is clicking on you in social media and all social media platforms, that is going to drive where you're coming up on their feed. So I don't care why you're showing up. If it's something that you're creating curiosity or FOMO, that's good, because now that person's going to see you more often. So that's not just local. And then you host the event. So you actually have the event on the day. There's all that social media stuff that you get to post about. You get to use this in your email newsletter. You're going to have a professional photographer and videographer there. Then all of that good stuff you can use for your speaking media kit. You mm-hmm. can take little sound bites from when you spoke at the event and put them in various places for free, like YouTube, put them up in your Facebook group if you have a Facebook group. If not, you can literally just put it onto your Facebook page as like a tiny soundbite with a wave thing at the bottom, and people mm-hmm. will click through to that YouTube longer video. So I'm just giving you ideas of all the places that you can be using one small event. And by the way, anytime you post anything on YouTube, because it's best friends with Google, your SEO goes up. Mm-hmm. So that's all this is about, is how many times can I show up in a way that's actually valuable, that's going to boost my SEO. So this event can be tiny, you guys, like 5 people, and just make it a bigger deal than it is. And in COVID, you kind of have to, right? So we don't have the chance to be having these 200 people events. So that's amazing, because what an opportunity for you to be creating something that's safe and social, and all we want is to connect. So people are going to be glued to whatever you're doing. So even if you're not inviting those people, you had an event, you get to post about it, and you show up in a way that's presenting you as an authority. So what I just mapped out for you is basically what I've done probably 20 times. And every time I do that, I get clients, no matter what. It doesn't matter if I have 5 people or 100 people, it always comes to fruition because it's actually valuable. I'm not creating crap, right? This actually has to matter, and it works.
Excellent. Yeah. That does sound good.
When you do stuff and you're showing up authentically, I mean, like this, do you see that people are clicking through to your websites and beyond? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think, I always sort of approach my business or anything I'm doing from the perspective of myself, right? Through my lens, which is either a good thing or a bad thing. And what I mean by that is simply like, because I am a person and I feel a certain way, I try to make sure that anything I'm putting out is something that I would connect to, because there are other people just by natural order of, I don't know, numbers, math, statistics, whatever we call it. Sure. There are other people who are going to feel the same way I do. So even though that's not everybody, that's fine. Mm-hmm. For the subset of people who would feel the way that I do, I want, if I feel happy and comfortable with it, then I know other people are going to accept it and receive it the same way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a huge way of looking at it too, because so every business needs to identify who their client is, right? And that's, you've just identified that you are the client. So you're mm-hmm. talking to your subset, and that's perfect. I'm not my own client. So I need to know who that person is, because it tends to be someone who was maybe me 7 years ago. And what is she feeling? So exactly what you're saying is that's not everybody. Someone who's making, you know, 7 figures wouldn't need my course, because my course is specifically for myself 7 years ago, but she might need my coaching. So I speak to that coaching person a little bit different than I do to my person who's receiving my course. So just being very clear on what mm-hmm. you're saying is so true. And just making sure that you know exactly who your target audience, and it could be different for different offers. It could be always the same. Like, I don't know why the anthropology just came into my mind. I always talk about them, but you know, when they're selling to, it's a certain client they're selling to. She's mm-hmm. not necessarily the Saks person, but she's not necessarily H&M. Right. So they know exactly who they're talking to, but it's the same person every day. For me, yes. It changes because it just depends on what I am selling at the moment.
Right. Yeah. And that's one audience. And I think that's something we talked about on our email marketing episode as well, where understanding if you have a couple of different client types, uh-huh. understanding who they are and making sure that you're tailoring those conversations to them and segmenting them yep. out, so that the conversation that I would have with myself is not the same conversation I would have with small business owners or mm-hmm. CFOs of small businesses who are going to be looking for my HR services. That's a very different conversation because I'm not that person. There's a very specific way I need to talk to them. So yes, I agree with that 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we get to the end here, do you have any last tips that you think it's really important for us to share with the people who are listening today?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the major thing that I wish someone would have told me when I was starting out my business, my very first business, was you're not going to know everything from day one. That's just impossible. So finding someone who maybe knows a little bit more than you, or in your industry that you aspire to be, follow them on a platform and see what they're doing. You don't have to recreate the wheel. You just have to be inspired, right? You don't have to steal from them in any way, but I think it's really helpful to find those people that are going to pull you up and help you to do what you're doing in a way that's, you know, it's not as confusing as it, doesn't have to be as confusing as it feels today.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love that.
It's great advice.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's just been, it's been so fun talking to you. I learned so much. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This is so awesome. I love what you guys are doing so much.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Where can people find you?
So my website is my name. It's KatrinaAaronson.com. And everything's from there. So anything that you can find me on, obviously my podcast, which you guys mentioned before, Through the Marketing Lens, you can find me there too.
Awesome. Excellent. Great. Well, thank you so much for being our badass of the week, Katrina.
Aw, thank you guys. I love that name, by the way.
Have a great day.
Bye. See you later.
You too. Bye, guys.
That's it for us this week. Remember, you can find anything we referenced in the episode in our show notes on our website, bossybrilliantbadass.com.
If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. It helps us get found.
And thank you for listening. There'll be more Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass next week. So until then,
be a badass.